Your heart. It's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. Expert cardiologists, talented surgeons, highly skilled specialists, all of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians. Your heart, your choice.
One of the premier faces of March Madness, Clark Kellogg, CBS college basketball analyst, longtime NBA player, former college basketball great as well. Clark, thank you for taking the time to jump on the line.
Tim, great to hang out with you, man. This is a special weekend on the sports calendar across all of basketball, men's and women's, so I'm glad to be able to join you.
We'll start with, you know, you talk about one of the premier matchups. It's being talked about like it's Batman versus Superman around here. Edie versus Burns. Who has the upper hand?
Well, Edie, clearly. I mean, he's 3 bills and 7'3", so clearly that gives him an advantage. My dad told me, my late dad always told me, good big will beat good little anytime everything is equal. And as big as DJ is, he's not as big as Zach. But that doesn't mean that he's going to be overwhelmed or outmatched. Mm. I think he's just got to be cerebral in his attack, and he's shown that he's got great basketball savvy and IQ. I just don't know if he can back down Zach Edey like he's able to back down most defenders that are on him. And we'll see if Purdue even plays Zach on him. I would think that would be the matchup, but they've got other guys they might put on DJ Burns Jr. I think he's going to have to use his face-up jump shot a little more in this particular matchup. But we'll see. I mean, that's part of the beauty of it. We speculate and postulate and anticipate, and sometimes things are thrown at us that we didn't think about seeing. So we'll see how Kevin Keats and the Wolfpack approach dealing with Big Zach.
Is there someone in basketball history that reminds you of DJ Burns? It seems like he's super unique, but you've seen him and played in a lot of basketball. Is there a name that comes into mind?
I hadn't really thought about it, but because he's so big and has such a soft touch and is nimble-footed, there are guys maybe – Glenn Davis, who played at LSU and played in the NBA for a while, Big Baby Davis. He shot it a little. He shot threes on occasion, but had that same type of girth and light-footedness, you know. I'm trying to think. Zach Randolph, because he's left-handed, Zach was never quite that big, but had a similar type of touch and game, you know, from 15 feet in where – you wonder how Zach got his shots off over bigger, stronger defenders as regularly as he did with such effectiveness. So I see some of that in DJ Burns Jr. too, his ability to make shots against tough defense using his body, his touch, and his footwork.
Clark Kellogg, CBS college basketball analyst, joining us on the Heister Automotive Group hotline here on The Drive. Clark, when it comes to Edie, I mean – there's a reason why every award has him on the short list, and he's won a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. How much do the refs play a factor in it? You look at the discrepancy between Tennessee and Purdue in the last round. It was drastic. Yeah. And then I'm not – like, you know, certain refs call a game tighter. Could that affect the way that those two play down low?
I actually love the way the games have been officiated, and I've watched a ton of them throughout the tournament. They've allowed some latitude with physicality. And Zach is a hard guy to officiate, much like Shaq was in his day. Yao Ming, any of those guys that are really talented and big, you don't want to call it differently because they're bigger. You want to be fair across the board, but it's a hard dynamic. But I think the officials have gotten it right more times than not. Zach puts a lot of pressure. I actually think, you know, if you're looking at percentages, they call most of the fouls they could call in favor of Zach, but there's probably still another 10 to 15% that they don't. And I don't have a problem with that because I think it works that way for other players too. All physical contact isn't a foul. And so I've been really – pleased with overall how the officials have called the games, given some room for physicality and allowing rhythm and flow to be part of what that is, because you could stagnate games if you were going to call, if you were only going to officiate by the letter of the law as opposed to the spirit of the law in contact.
If you're running NC State's defense, are you – like the sharpshooters from Purdue I think are a little underrated because everyone's eye goes right to Edie.
Yeah.
Are you sending the double knowing that those shooters are going to be available? Like how do you balance that?
I'm mixing it up. Mm. I don't want a steady diet. I mean, obviously you want to try to make Zach work for whatever he gets. You don't want to create easy shots for the perimeter guys, although the Purdue guys haven't shot it great from the three-point line in the tournament. But their percentages are pretty impressive when you look at their body of work. So, yeah, I would mix it up, Tim. You know, double him some, double him from different places. I think more important than how you defend Zach in terms of doubling or not is being disruptive at the point of attack. Really good ball pressure, trying to deny passing angles, and then trying to create deflections as much as you can, tracing that ball on passes as much as you can before it gets in there. I think that's a huge component if you're going to be effective. And then get in there and dig it out when Jack puts it on the ground if you can.
I could talk like basketball nerd stuff with you all day and dive into the rotations and everything. But the fact is, March Madness comes with a bit of magic, right? Here in the Triangle in North Carolina, there's a lot of feels like 83 being thrown around and a lot of the similarities. How do you account for that element of what NC State's done? You know, going into a game where you might want to say Purdue has this advantage, Purdue has that advantage, Purdue has this player, that player. But on the other side, there's that other thing. There's that whatever NC State has going on. How do you account for that?
Well, I think you acknowledge it, you respect it, you appreciate it, and you don't dismiss it. Mm. And it is a factor. And if things are tight and guys are playing at the level they've shown or even beyond for NC State, which could happen, then you could have another magical, unexpected miracle moment. And you never discount or dismiss those in sports.
We're talking with Clark Kellogg, CBS College basketball analyst. Clark, just a few more for you. I was listening to Tom Izzo speak recently, and you know he's one of the legendary can take a team on a run in March Madness above seeding. And he said he thinks of it in winning weekends rather than winning games. So he might be looking ahead to the game that is on the other side of their pod, who it could be, you know, on a Wednesday, just to get that extra leg up on the second game if they make it happen. Looking at that Alabama-UConn game, is UConn beatable? Like, is there a path towards getting those guys knocked out either by Alabama or whoever comes out of the other side?
Yeah, clearly. I mean, you have to be at your very best. Alabama has three-point shooting prowess that no other team really has in the tournament to that level. And they've shown better defensive efficiency in this tournament. So the three-point shot plus defense that they've shown gives them a chance. You've got to stay close, though. You can't allow UConn to separate. And because they can score the way they can, the Crimson Tide might be able to make that happen. If it gets to a Monday night and it's Purdue or NC State, same thing. I mean, Purdue obviously would match up in the middle much better because of Zach, and they've got other pieces around them. But any team that's here could be playing on Monday, although I think it will be Purdue and UConn.
Clark, I appreciate you for taking the time. You keep Chuck and everybody in check out there, all right? Keep that NBA foolishness and you keep the college basketball for us, okay?
Well, we have a good time with each other, and I love being part of the team with those guys, and we're going to do the same thing we've done for the last several years together.
And we're going to keep enjoying it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Thanks, Tim.
Once again, Clark Kellogg, CBS College basketball analyst. And snuck in there, he does think it's going to be UConn and Purdue, which, you know, that's the betting favorites there, right? Those are the guys those are the teams that everybody's on. But he also acknowledged there is magic in March, which, you know, we know which side that tilts. Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. We're here with Coach Pete, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, let's hear about your power plan.
Well, Coach Pete's power plan, 22 steps to get you on the right direction for retirement. Also, make sure you have a successful, income-filled retirement. Tim, the next 10 people are going to give that away. No cost or obligation.
For the power plan, call 800-691-3215. You can also go ahead and text Tim to 600-700. The phone number, 800-691-3215, or text Tim to 600-700. Speaking of the Heister Automotive Group hotline, we need to talk to our very own Dennis Cox, who we have locked up from Phoenix. Dennis, good to see you. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to see you guys.
We'll start the same way we started yesterday. Vibe check. Yesterday you said NC State was still the same they've been. As it gets closer, it's going to become more and more difficult. Are they still pulling that off?
So one thing that Kevin Keats talked about yesterday in his press availability, he said they wanted to treat yesterday like 50-50, like have fun and also business, right? Because you don't want to be like mentally tax your guys out, you know, 2 days away from a game. So he made sure before practice yesterday that it was, hey, bring your phones out, take pictures on the floor, on the court, all that kind of stuff. Go ahead and let's get that out of the way. So that was part of yesterday. Today was a little bit more like what he wanted to be was 75% business, 25% fun. So you could tell they're a little bit more locked in. Now, granted, our press availability was before practice today. Yesterday was after practice. So we got a chance to see the vibe before the guys were actually going out onto the floor. But their practice today was unlike any other because they let fans in for free. And there were several thousand fans, you know, across all the teams, even just not even fans of the four teams that are actually here. I saw people wearing, like, Marquette T-shirts and things like that.
Hey, they booked the flights. They booked the flights optimistically.
Clearly, like, you know what, we're still going to go. But they also had the NC State band was performing. And, like, all this was taking place during practice. Like, media, we were allowed to be courtside. I was standing right there baseline during warm-ups for NC State today. But you could tell, even with all that stuff going on around them, on the court, in that area, they're 100% locked in.
You know, it's interesting. I saw a quote. We have the clip of Fletcher Lawyer from Purdue saying that they're trying to treat it like any other game. You're in the middle of the circus. You're baseline during practice. Is it possible to treat it like any other game? Because the circus around it and everything has to make it feel different.
It does. And this is unlike anything these guys really have ever experienced before. I understand the mentality of treating it like every other game in terms of like how you approach on the floor in terms of, you know, we still got to execute what we do, offense, defensively, game plan, all those kinds of things. You know, we can blah, blah, blah regarding that. But in terms of everything else, I mean, I actually remember I was walked by Jaden Taylor yesterday. This is after our locker room availability. We got to talk to players, and he was getting taken like two other places. Like, man, they got you running around everywhere. He said something I couldn't say. But, you know, it's like, man, you know it. It's just he kind of like, man, they really are getting us around to all these different places, whether they're talking with CNN, whether they're talking with CBS, TNT, SiriusXM, all these other different outlets want to talk to everybody as much as possible. So, yeah, it's a little bit more than treating it like any other game outside of the game itself. But when it comes to the game itself, yeah, you still got to execute and go do like you would. It was the Elite Eight or Sweet 16.
I just don't see, like, a mid-January game against Florida State. It just, you don't have that. You know what I mean?
It's not the same.
Exactly. It's not the same. It's not. Dennis Cox, our very own from 99.9 The Fan, out in Phoenix for the Final Four, talking with us on the Heister Automotive Group hotline. Can you compare and contrast the two teams based on their approach? Like, when you're in the locker room, is it different, or, you know, is there's something to be said for every like 19 to 23 year old kind of being similar, but is there a difference that stands out to you between the two teams getting ready?
I would say this. I'm a little bit more slanted, I guess, when it comes to NC State because having been around the team multiple times throughout the season, so I kind of understand who they are as a team and as individuals with some of them. So I would say they were themselves. The Purdue locker room when I went in there yesterday was very much like, we're here to do business, we're here to do work, we're here to take care of business, but also here to prove people wrong because we got knocked out by a 16 seed in Fairleigh Dickinson last year. We feel like we're supposed to be in this place. We have something to prove. Whereas NC State, they still have that mindset of, no, we still have something to prove. Like, yeah, we've won 9 straight to get here. That doesn't mean we're guaranteed to win 10 and 11. You know, that's the thing. So they still have that chip on their shoulder. I know Casey Morcell was actually asked earlier today about, like, do you embrace the, like, underdog mentality? He's like, no, we're just doing our thing. Like, we're just being us. You know, not, you know, buying into, like, the underdog type things. Like, It's like, we get the national story, we get it, but we're just out here to be us. And I think this is kind of the vibe that they've had really this entire season. It's like, you know what, we're just going to try and be ourselves. But yeah, Purdue's locker room was a little bit more buttoned up, it felt like, yesterday.
It does. There's something funny about the fact that the two teams that have very much taken on the everybody doubts us are the 2-1 seeds. Like,
yeah.
Like Purdue and UConn are, you know, all this disrespect. Alabama and NC State, who are the lower seeds and maybe have a better argument for it, seem to just be like in their own bubble playing basketball.
Yeah, it's amazing how like a reigning champion who's a one seed is quote unquote disrespected. I was like, no, like you're the betting favorite by everybody, and a lot of people, including your bracket, mm-hmm. the pick to win the whole thing.
Yep.
I'm like, I don't see where the disrespect comes in. It's like the Kansas City Chiefs are being like, yeah, people doubted us. Like, no, they didn't.
Or Zach Edey, like nobody wanted me when he went to one of the best prep schools in the country, and he's 7'4".
And you're the Big Ten Player of the Year, and all. I'm like no. Like, people wanted you. It's not like, you know, these guys were walk-ons, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you're making this run. But, you know, like, Purdue, people are catching flack, or they're going to catch a little flack because of what happened last year.
Fairly
no
Dickinson.
Different than Virginia in 2019 when they lost to UMBC the year before. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, but you still lost that game last year, and then they found the redemption story to Virginia and won a national championship. So maybe Purdue's walking down that same path 5 years later. But nah, yeah, the quote unquote disrespect. I don't know. I don't see it.
By the way, that UMBC drop may be a little tease for the coach we have coming up next here in a couple minutes.
That's right.
You know what day it is? It's Friday. We do bold predictions. We'll put you on the spot here.
Oh,
give us a bold prediction for the state Purdue game.
Oh, real bold prediction.
Real bold. And Graham, feel free to give him the buzzer or the bell if you want to.
Mohamed Diarra blocks Zach Edey twice.
Ooh. I like that. And how many times, this is like the flip side of that coin, how yeah. many times does he get called for a foul trying to block Zach Edey?
Oh, probably three.
Okay. All right. That's,
probably
that's,
three. Let's
that's
be
fair.
Honest here.
He doesn't, Mo Diarra does not back down, and I respect that about him.
Yeah.
Dennis, we appreciate it. We'll maybe check back in with you later in the show.
Absolutely.
Cool. Dennis Cox, follow him on Twitter at TheFanRookie. He is out in Phoenix. You can also follow 99.9 TheFan on Twitter and everything else. Our contingent out there will be posting throughout the weekend, which is a good way for you to see all the behind the scenes. You would have known that there's video games in the locker room for state. You would have known everything about that practice, that kind of walkthrough practice that Dennis was passing along. You would have already gotten those visuals. So we encourage you to follow on 99.9 TheFan. Also, I've been told we are knocking on the door of 10,000 YouTube followers, and I would really like to use this weekend of excitement to catapult ourselves over 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. So if you have not yet done so to subscribe to our channel, please do so now. 99.9 The Fan on YouTube, and tell your friends. We crank out a ton of content to our YouTube channel, and we'd really like you to be a part of that community. We have a couple minutes here. So, and by the way, this was planned for the caller earlier. NC State women versus South Carolina. I need to emphasize two things. One, South Carolina is very good. I have some stats to prove it. Two, Saniah Rivers and Isaiah James are going to have to play really well to overcome the odds. I need to emphasize South Carolina is 36-0 this season. They've won their games by an average of 30 points, 29.6 points. They've had a win of 82 points and a win of 70 points. These are video game numbers. They have an All-American center in the 6'7 Camila Cardoso. They've gotten 38.8 points per game off the bench in the tournament. Their coach is making jokes at the podium. There's a lot to like about South Carolina. Saniah Rivers and Isaiah James have to lead the way for NC State against South Carolina for the simple fact of that's how every upset happens, right? It's so rare to have an upset of a number one, you know, legendary team without someone being the centerpiece, right? You need to have the great player, right? You need to have the centerpiece, I guess, would be the only way to say it. The person that goes above and beyond. And if you're just playing the odds, more likely to go above and beyond, Rivers and James. One of them, I mean, it might be a Rivers triple-double. It might be 7 or 8 threes from James. It might be someone else stepping up. But if they pull it off, I think there's going to be an individual somewhere on the way that that really is the person that becomes the star, the DJ Burns or the Gordon Hayward or the Fred Van Vliet, whoever the you know, that person is.
Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am Drew Merrill. I am the project manager.
The Designery is a lovely kitchen, bath, and closet remodeling company. We do pretty much any of the utility spaces in your house. If you want to store things in your cabinets, if you want to work on things on your countertops, if you want to have a floor that can get wet or muddy, we're the place to help you fix your home up.
We are the Designery North Raleigh, located at 3030 Wake Forest Road in the Holly Park Plaza. We would love to see you or visit our website at thedesignery.com.